the weekly rate. The room was on the second floor of a motel on South Virginia that had stopped pretending to be for tourists sometime in the years since the highway moved, and Adelaide Westbrook climbed the outside stairs with her folder against her chest and knocked on the door of number 14 and waited, because you always waited, you did not push. You gave a person the 2 or 3 seconds it took to decide whether to be home. Dawn opened the door on the chain first, then all the way. She was 26 and looked older and younger at the same time, the way they did, and behind her the room was 2 double beds and a television bolted to the dresser and a hot plate the management did not officially allow, and on the far bed a boy of about 5 was watching cartoons with the sound low and a girl of about 3 was asleep with her thumb in her mouth. It smelled of cigarettes and the cleaning solution the maids used, and under that, of a place where people cooked in a room that was not a kitchen. "The county lady," Dawn said, not unkindly. "You said Tuesday." "It's Tuesday," Adelaide said. She had been doing this long enough to read a room in the first minute, and she read this one. The good signs. The children were clean, the television was on the cartoons and not something else. There was a box of cereal and a gallon of milk on the dresser. The bad signs were at the edges, the way they always were. A man's jacket over the chair that had not been there last time. Dawn's jaw working slightly, the talk coming a little fast, the particular thinness that had gotten into the neighborhood over the last few years, and that everybody in Adelaide's line of work had learned to recognize, the drug that was cheap and homemade and cooked in trailers and back rooms all over the north end of the state now, that let a person work a double, and then not sleep, and then not eat, and then not anything. She did not say the word. You did not walk into a room and say the word. You said, "How are the kids?" And you said, "Did the school get the boy his shots?" And you let the person tell you where they were by what they answered and what they didn't. Dawn was behind on the room. That was the emergency that had brought Adelaide today. A call from the manager, who was not a bad man and did not want to put 2 kids on the sidewalk in January, but ran the place for an owner who counted the weekly rate on Fridays. The weekly rate was the whole trap of it. It was more, by the month, than an apartment would have cost, but you needed nothing to get into it, no deposit, no credit, no last month. And once you were in it, you could never get the lump sum together to get out of it. And so you paid a fortune a little at a time to stay poor, and half the town's working poor lived exactly like this now, in rooms with hot plates, families stacked in the old motor courts that used to have neon signs bragging about swimming pools. "I can get the room current for 2 weeks," Adelaide said, and she watched Dawn's shoulders come down half an inch. "Through the emergency fund. Once. You understand me. Once. And it's not going to be enough. 2 weeks. So while it's covered, we are going to do some other things." She opened the folder. "St. Vincent's does dinner every night. 3rd Street. You can walk the kids there, or I'll find you a ride. And it's a hot meal that isn't off that hot plate. The church I go to runs a food box on Saturdays. And there's a waiting list I want to put your name on today, for the real housing, the subsidized, and the list is long, and I am not going to lie to you about how long, but you cannot get to the top of a list you are not on." Dawn looked at the jacket on the chair. "And if Ray's name is on the lease with mine?" "Then that's a conversation," Adelaide said, "about Ray." They left it there. You did not win it all in one visit. You won the room for 2 weeks, and the name on the list, and the dinner at St. Vincent's, and you came back Tuesday. Adelaide filled out the emergency voucher on the hood of her car in the parking lot, the cold coming up off the asphalt, the Sierra white behind the motel sign. Down the street, the tall, dead shape of the Mapes stood against the sky, 17 years empty, the grand hotel the whole town had been so proud of once, and there was talk the city would finally bring it down, and Adelaide thought, not for the first time, about how a town would spend years arguing over a building nobody lived in, while people lived 4 to a room in the motels a half mile south, and how that was not a contradiction anyone downtown seemed to feel. She had come up in Black Springs, out in the North Valleys, 6 miles and a whole world from downtown, on land black families had been able to buy when they could buy nowhere else in Reno. She had been 9 years old the year her mother and the other women got the county to finally run a water line out to them, so that they did not have to haul it in barrels anymore. And she remembered her mother at the kitchen table with the other organizers, the letters and the petitions and the meetings, the sheer grinding patience of getting a government to give people what people downtown had never once had to ask for. Her grandmother had done the same thing a generation before, that with the church on Bell Street, Bethel, building a place for a community out of nothing but persistence and Sunday collections. That was the family trade, if you wanted to call it a trade. Wanting things for people who were told not to want them. Adelaide had marched for it in college, had sat in an office at the university, and refused to leave until they gave the black students a room of their own. And she had thought, at 22, that she was going to change the shape of the world. At 49, she got a room current for 2 weeks. She was not naive about the distance between those two things, but she had also buried the naivety without burying the work, which was the trick her mother had known and her grandmother before that, that the marching and the voucher were the same motion at different scales, that you did the enormous thing by doing the small thing on Tuesday and then again the next Tuesday, and that a child asleep with her thumb in her mouth in a warm room was not nothing, was in fact very nearly everything, was the whole argument. She signed the voucher and capped her pen. There were two more visits on the list before dark, a man at the shelter downtown who needed his disability paperwork run down, and a grandmother out past Sun Valley raising three grandchildren on a check that did not stretch. She got in the car and turned the heater on and sat for a second letting it warm, looking up at the door of number 14, where the boy had pulled the curtain aside to watch her go. She lifted her hand to him. After a moment, he lifted his. Historical note. By the late 1990s, Reno's aging motels, especially along South Virginia Street and downtown, had become housing of last resort for the working poor and for families, charging high weekly rates for rooms with no lease or deposit. The region was also in the grip of the early methamphetamine epidemic. Social services of the era included the Reno Sparks Gospel Mission, 1963, St. Vincent's Dining Room on 3rd Street, Catholic Charities, 1961, the Salvation Army, and Washoe County Social Services. The large Record Street shelter complex did not open until 2007. The derelict Mapes Hotel, closed since 1982, was imploded in January 2000.